Don. Anybody have any questions regarding the upcoming test session or licensing in general for Don?
KD2JDC here. Is that just a tech test, or is there a general also? Over.
All licenses, tech, general, and exit. Have all three.
Roger that. Is there, okay, all right, thank you. Roger that. Over.
Connected, N2OEL.
Let's get to that. N2OEL, K2BAR, welcome aboard. What are your intentions, Mr. Noel?
K2BAR, this is N2OEL. I'm just checking in for the evening. No comments, no questions.
All right, Noel, very good. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're able to listen. You can do something I no longer can do. Anyway, nice to hear you in there, and hope everything is well with you. All righty. Any other further questions for Don? All righty. Don, any finals?
One or two other items. If somebody has a technician license that was before March 21st of 1987, and now that the Morse code has gone away, we can paper upgrade that person to a general class. The only difference between the tech and the general back in those days before March 21st of 1987 was the fact that tech was a 5 word per minute code speed, and the general was 13 words a minute. Code speed doesn't matter. We can paper upgrade you to a general class. Also, people whose licenses have expired before, beyond the 2 year grace period, after 2 years beyond the grace period of 2 years after the expiration date. Turn that back into radio, and if you had a general, advanced, or extra class license, get back into the hobby by passing the current tech exam. And then you will get credit for whatever class you had. If you were a general, you get another advanced. You will get a general license also, because they don't get licenses anymore. Had this extra class, that will become an extra class. With your licensing, well licensed as a tech, right of March 21st, 1987, to do that upgrade. If you did have a license, you'd have to show for that license, have expired license. So if anybody has any information like that, please get in touch with me. Back to that, W2JEK.
Okay, very good, Don. That's good advice. Anybody have any questions about that licensing? Or anything else, Don?
I think that's all at this time. Back to that, W2JEK.
Okay, I ran up here in such haste. I grabbed my wife's phone and tablet instead of my phone and tablet. So at some point I'm going to have to run down. How we timed it out. All right. NCJDH, go ahead, ask your question. Okay, I'm wondering if everybody's having fun here. All right, let's see if we can do this better. I don't have to JDH. All right, so WHUMP, Jim, your comment, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2UMP. Yeah, good evening, Gordon. I noticed in the preamble you asked for comments on things you would never do again. And I have a quick story about something I'm never going to do and what I'm going to do, what I've done instead. Last week, I went hiking up in Woodstock and climbed Overlook Trail, had a real good time, brought my handheld with me, which was safely attached to my feet, and carried a 16-inch whip, and along with two jackets, since it was cold on the mountaintop. Make a long story short, by the time I got to the top, I had found that I had lost the antenna. The 16-inch whip was nowhere to be seen, and the Simplex that I wanted to work from the mountaintop was just not going to happen. So I swore to myself I'd never let that happen again, and I'm going to let it drop, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to do instead. Okay. What I decided is the 16-inch whip was too awkward to carry, so I bought an interesting collapsible antenna. It's a Diamond SRH-779. It's called an articulating antenna. It's telescoping, it collapses, and it has kind of a hinge in it where you can bend it to about 45 degrees, and the whole thing fits in your top, in your pocket. So next time I go hiking, the handheld will go on my belt, the antenna will, I'll remove that and put it right in my pocket, and I won't be in danger of losing it again. The SRH-779 costs $33 plus $10 on shipping from HRO, or you could get it on eBay for the low price of $14 plus $3 shipping. I'm not sure if it's a knockoff. It says Diamond. It's the quality is excellent, and I'm using it now and was able to hit Mount Beacon from my living room, so it seems to be pretty good. Haven't run any detailed tests on it yet. Anyway, so after losing that antenna, I swore that would never happen again, and it won't, and that's what I'm doing about it. Back to net control.
Yeah, very good. So it's a telescoping antenna, basically?
It's a telescoping antenna, and it has a hinge in the bottom. After 6 inches or 5 inches, it has a hinge in it. I'm not sure exactly what that purpose of that hinge is, but it does make it easier. You can fold it at about 45 degrees, and then it fits into your pocket. Kind of interesting, and you can Google it on the internet, of course.
Yeah, very nice. You know, here's an interesting thing. The Diamond also makes a tri-band antenna and a couple of dual-band antennas with various kinds of either SMA or SMARPs, N connectors, not N, BFC connectors, etc. And both dual-band and tri-band. And, you know, since I have a Kenwood tri-band radio, I use the tri-band antenna for the longest time. But it's got, like you were saying, a lot of mechanical things that, you know, can either get lost or break or whatever. I found, much to my amazement, that the instead of the SRH-321, whatever it is, that I could use the SRH-77, which is a dual-band antenna. And amazingly enough, it covers just great on 220. So I... No coils, it's just a continuously loaded thing, and it seems to work fine on 220, and with no, you know, problems with the finals, no problems with the, with breakage, or as you pointed, loss. It never even unscrewed itself. Anybody else have any thoughts about these kinds of, antennas, you know, things you need to make things happy when you go portable?
But it is 16 inches, and it doesn't fit in your pocket. And if you put it on the belt buckle, that 16-inch width kind of interferes with your arm movement. So, but an excellent antenna, and I did buy a replacement for that, too, because it is very good.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you mount it. I mean, you know, I've got several backpacks, and they all have... Molly system pouches, and so I tend to wrap the radio into a Molly system pouch and either put it on a harness or on a backpack, you know, whichever, it depends on what my modality is. I can put it in the pocket of a tactical vest, although I usually don't hike in a tactical vest, that's a pain in the neck. But yeah, well, that's good. Anybody else have any thoughts? WI2W. Mr. Steve.
Yeah, when I go hiking and do soda activations, I carry the HD and the duct that comes with it, and that's useful for communicating between me and my other soda activator buddies who happen to be on the same mountain with me. But if I want to work some DX, I also carry a roll-up J-pole made out of twin lead, and that I can toss up into a tree or hang it on a pole or something to get a little bit of gain and get it up higher. And that seems to work out very well. Jim, were you on Overlook Mountain? I heard you say Overlook Trail, but were you on Overlook Mountain?
Yes, and I believe that the trail to it is called Overlook Trail, and that is up in Woodstock, about 2.5 mile trail. Some of the things, sights to see on it, there's a hotel that burned down in 1927. You can go through the remnants, which is kind of interesting. And at the top, there's a fire lookout tower that you can climb also. So good things to see along the trail.
Yeah, I was just up there a few weeks ago with Dave K2ZC. That happens to be a soda peak, and the weather was predicted to be 68 degrees. And when we got up on top, it was about 50 degrees. The wind was howling. It was damp and cold, and there was a big cloud over the entire sky. So we did our activation and then got off the mountain. But it was a nice hike. We enjoyed the day.
Well, the weather can be kind of funny. It was cold when we started out, then it got warm, and then it got cold. So depending whether the sun is out or the wind is blowing, it can be really cold or it can be warm. And that's why I took two jackets with me.
All righty. Well, a great mountain. I'll go back and do that hike again. It was a nice walk. And we walked through the old burned-out hotel and took a look around. Back to Ned, K2BAR, WI2W.
Hey, thank you very much. Anybody else have comments? Okay, very good. Yeah, well, I thought that JDH was going to be a little short on time tonight, but he's not working, but he had to go into Walmart. That's why he didn't answer before. Alrighty. Yeah, I think it's important to have a plan B for an antenna, just in general. Although I like your suggestion, Jim. If you could put the suggestion up on the ComTech group, the model number that you mentioned, I think a lot of people would like that, an articulated telescoping, you know, antenna, if it's in your pocket or a pouch of a unit. I like to operate kind of the way Steve does. I have a battery that I'll bring always a couple of batteries that are charged, and I'll use one for up and down the mountain and another for whatever my operational requirements are, you know, on station. Although I must confess I have not done a soda activation. I've done other things that require, you know, a radio for transit and a radio for functionality on station. So that's good. Alrighty, let's see. WHYSC, your question, sir, K2BAR.
N2OEL. I was trying to figure how to establish a service on mesh network, large mesh network.
Okay, so. The first thing you do, and you're running which Arden code on a Ubiquiti device?
It's on a Linksys router, 1.0.
No problem. So, a lot of extraneous carriers tonight. I think it might be from the Echolink, but if it's not, let's give that due consideration as well. Okay. All right, so what you do is you go to the admin screen, and the admin screen you go to, I think it's DHCP leases and things like that. Do you see that screen?
Connected, N2OEL.
Right next to the tunnel client.
Very good, and Noel, welcome back. Alrighty, so the way this works is you put
want to make a host in, it will, you'll see it on the, you know, have a DHCP lease. You click on it and add that up, and away you go. Basically, it will, you then give it a name. If it's an HTTP service, you put HTTP. If you want to advertise it, you check the checkbox. And it may take a couple of iterations to do that, but basically, you start with that process of first assigning the device that has the DHCP lease to the service list, and then you fill in the spots on the right after that. Over.
Okay, I thought I could access the network by doing ports on the upper left part of that page.
You first have to get the thing working on the mesh service, the mesh advertised service. So you take the device with the port that you want, get the MAC address into the service list, and then advertise the service, which is the right-hand side of the upper side, and away you go.
LAN IP, I think is what
you believe, yes.
There's outside port and inside at the port.
Right, usually port 80 for an HTTP.
Okay, like on advertised service, like ASP and...
You have to save it and then reboot. Or actually, not to reboot, but you have to save it.
Okay, I've done that. I see up on second node here. First node is advertised service. But when I click onto it, it's find that thing. Over.
Not sure why. You might have to bounce the other node then to have it shake up the routing table. That's what I'm thinking. I have to get mine back up and working, and I will be this weekend. So when I do, I'll take a quick look, and assuming my tunnel connection's there, we should be all right. I think I still have one functional tunnel that's administered on Randy's, and probably one for Mark.
Right now, I think to a power rack rail that has a website. I figure I'd use that.
It's a great idea. It's an absolutely great idea. I use a Raspberry Pi that I don't love for that same purpose with a web page. All right, very good. Anybody else have any suggestions for Bob? Okay. W2TKE. How are you? G2BA, your comments, sir.
Hey, Gordon, good evening. This is W2TKE. Just a quick comment. I've been getting into satellite work lately and all that stuff, and I noticed that tomorrow the International Space Station is going to be coming over our area, and at the same time they're going to be having a direct contact with, I guess, a school in Rhode Island, and... So what that means is that we'll probably be able to hear it if we tune our radios to, 145.800. I did that last time the stars aligned, where they were doing a, one of these question and answer periods. And I did it. I actually went to my daughter's school and had a few classmates around, and they got a kick out of it. So... If the stars align and everything works tomorrow, that should be the same. The same thing should happen. It looks like it's scheduled to start around 12:43 p.m. And I mean, it's a small window of time. It'll only last for about whatever it is, 5 or 6 minutes. But it's pretty cool. So I just want to let people know if they weren't aware of it. Back to net.
No, that's great. So 145.800, about 12:43, I think you said, p.m. That's great. I know I have a meeting to be in about 1, but I have to, get a seat, I'm going to have to walk in and make sure that I'm parked in my seat about 12:15, 12:30. It's one of those kind of deals. So, but very good. A few years ago, the Fairlawn Radio Club assisted Zach KC2RSS, who's now an engineering student down in Philly, an ISS contact, and it was about 11, 12 minutes long, and we got, I think, 13 kids to ask questions from various grammar schools and middle school in Fairlawn. It was great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it works out. And I recently got one of those, the Arrow satellite antenna as well. So I'm hoping to use that tomorrow and get much better reception than I did last time. So wish me luck. W2TK.
Yeah, so question, is it a rising pass or is it a setting pass? In other words, is it southern approach or is it a northern approach?
Well, the cool thing about it is that according to the apps I have, its highest reach is going to be about 80 degrees, so it's going to be almost overhead. Looks like it's going to rise in the northwest and set in the southeast. So it looks to be a good pass.
That's great. That sounds great. So what you can do, if anyone cares, is get an app an application online. It's free, called Orbitron. It's a Windows app. Orbitron is free, and you actually can just install it in a matter of a couple of minutes. And you can also take it and get a update the orbital elements online. At a push of a button, it's got several reference databases to go look to. So if you want to see that, and it's one of the default satellites that's depicted in Orbitron, is the ISS.
Copy that, Gordon. Yeah, I have loaded that program, but I have to say that I found it a little difficult to learn. I'm still messing with it. I use apps on my iPhone, and I have a plethora of other websites that I use, but I still need to learn that Orbitron site a little bit better. Back to net.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to use it for much, it gets to be a little clunky, but because the ISS is a default, and all you have to do is hit the update on the orbital elements, it's not too bad to get that squared away, and I did it a couple of weeks ago on a PC that didn't have it. Worked out fine. Comment. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you very much. Back to that.
Thank you. That was awesome. Awesome. 12:43 tomorrow for about 6 minutes. Rising in the northwest, setting in the southeast. So, get your motors running there, boys. If you're home and you got time, 145-800, thereabouts, plus or minus the Doppler. So feel free to turn that knob a little bit. Alrighty. Andre, are you back? N2JDH, K2BAR. Okay, we are Andre-less. Couple of things. Tomorrow night is a Fairlawn Radio Club meeting, and I will be testing coaxes and showing people how to test coaxes for loss. Using a pair of bird watt meters, and we'll show you how to do that in a dummy load. Look forward to showing people how to do that tomorrow. Which reminds me, I got to dig out my other bird watt meter. But anyway, it's all good, and we hope to see you tomorrow. And it should be fun. Doors open at 6 p.m. And as soon as I get there, we'll get that squared away. Probably about 7 we'll start with doing the coaxes. If you have a piece of coax, say, 20-foot roll or 100-foot roll of coax, or like Dave in for USK is going to bring
got a couple of chunks of hard line down. We'll test those out. The preferred connector is N, but we have adapters for everything, so not to worry. You're welcome to come on down and get your coax tested. And they don't have a network analyzer to sweep it with, but we'll certainly make sure we test it for loss. Anybody have any questions? All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for a lovely net, albeit a little short, but not bad. And again, I want to thank Don for running the net the last 2 weeks. Our trip down to Kentucky was absolutely memorable and a little bittersweet. But for those who don't know, I lost my brother last year, my one brother, and his family had, his sons live in Kentucky, and his fiance lives in Kentucky, or lives in Kentucky, so we got to spend time with them, and, you know, about 40 of his former colleagues and other friends, so it was really awesome. Anyway, last week, I was just plain tired from the trip back. I just crashed and didn't wake up in time, so Don just jumped in and did that. Anyway, 7-3 all. Well, actually, before I say that, anybody have any last comments or questions for the net, please call K2BAR.
J-E-K.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, Barrow will be running a portable day along with the Fairlawn Club Memorial Pool Saturday the 14th, start around 10 o'clock in the morning, I believe. W-I-2-W, by the way, just people who brought it back to net. W-2-J.
Absolutely, yes. Saturday the 14th. So we from the Saturday Memorial Park, around the area, around the pavilion. It'll be rain or shine. It will be dry, and folks are going to gather around 10 in the morning for that purpose. It'll be great. Same place that Fairlawn has their field day. So just FYI. And if you were at Portable Day last October, same location there too. Alrighty, 7-3, unless someone's got anything else.
Andrew. But I guess it's too late.
Close the net, we've called you twice, but third time's a charm. What's your question, Mr. Andre?
Well, I was just about connecting an ICOM radio to a computer and a mixer. I guess I can hold it for next time.
We got quite a collection of people here. You want to try it?
All right, well, I have an IC718, and I have the ACC cable that goes in the back. I was wondering what's the correct way to connect it to a mixer, so that way I can use a microphone and to the radio, like a condenser mic.
I would go through the front of the radio, just use the mixer before that if you need. What are you trying to mix it with? Are you just trying to sit there and shape? Are you trying to use the, like, shaping the bandwidth?
It's just pretty much audio going in. I'm having an issue with the mics that I have. Every time I transmit, it's low audio. It's not that great of audio coming out.
Okay, so you're gonna use, is the mixer like an amplifying mixer?
No, just standard mixer, no amp.
So if you have low audio, what's the mixer gonna do for you?
I was wondering if there's a preamp that could be made, if anybody knew, that would work.
I would just get a preamplified microphone. There is a company called Canakits, C-A-N-A-K-I-T-S. You might want to look at some of theirs. They might have a microphone preamplifier.
All right, I think somebody doubled with you to head out some information, so I'm going to see what they have to say.
Okay, either that or it was the echo link. Who doubled? Yeah, unfortunately, it was the echo link. All right, so, I mean, Canakits is one, but, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, by the time you get done with a preamp and stuff, for a microphone, unless you're married to the microphone, why not just get a microphone that works right?
Yeah, I'm on the second second one so far, and I'm not sure if there's a connection in the front, but every time I go through the back with the ACC cable, it seems like the audio is a little bit louder, but the problem is I guess it's not going through the amp like the front one does.
It may not. It may keep it flat so that, you know, you can add a, you connect like a modem or something like that, like a direct digital device.
All right, well, I mean, guess that's it then. I just probably got to either get a preamp or try a third mic. Guess that's just how it's going to be then. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But thanks again.
Why don't you bring your 718 down to Fairlawn and let's take a 718 that we have at the club and its microphone and try it.
It sounds like a plan. Now, the other thing I can think of is it probably because I'm not getting enough power out? Could that be the other issue that's going with it?
Well, it may not be the issue. It may be the consequence of the issue. If you don't have enough audio, you're not going to get enough power. So maybe what we need to do is see if your settings are correct.
All right, I just got to schedule a chance to go down to Fairlawn and then test it out. Thank you again, Gordon.
I'll be there tomorrow. I will not be there next Friday, so just be aware. At least not at this time. I'm planning to be up at a scout function at Camp Novi Bosco. All righty, anybody else?
WJMPP?
Good evening, Paolo.
Yeah, just a quick one just on that mic thing. When the guy just mentioned condenser, condensers will need 48 volt phantom power. So we just check what mic you're actually using with that. With the 718, I think it just takes dynamic where I think the later icons actually do put power down to the mic. WCAPP back to KQBR.
I think they do provide power on the 8-pin connector. There's 8 volts on the connector. Maybe that's the problem.
All right, I'll look through a book and check that out. But thank you again. I'll probably have to switch the mic out.
VIR.
Howie.
Yeah, I've been reading the newspaper while listening to the rig with half an ear. This triggered something since last night. I saw the ICOM 7300 and asked about the microphone. If you're trying to connect a dynamic microphone to an ICOM, yes, you have to use a blocking capacitor against that 8 volt. You know, it's meant for an electric microphone. So is this relevant, or was I really not listening?
No, you pretty much got it.
Okay, so I hope that helps Andre. By the way, it was really great seeing the 7300 in person and reading some of the specs. One of the things I was interested in was the shape factor, which in testing is about 1.4 to 1.
Sweet. And just for everybody's reference, that's the ratio of the 60 dB bandwidth versus the 60 dB bandwidth. Unless that's, please tell me that's not a 6 and 50.
You had it correct. That's the standard I've always gone by, and that's what I thought I saw in the test results.
Yeah, good. Every so often you'll see somebody playing that game of only 50 dB on the denominator, but that's awesome. Really, really is.
Well, that was the promise of FCRs. I don't want to change the topic. I'm not sure if the net's over, but one of the other discussions we had last night, because the price tag of this thing is $1,500, and they considered it entry level and so forth, and the whole promise of FCRs was that it would make radios cheap for the performance, is that, you know, a lot of people, you know, just thought that was too much money. And then today someone looked up what a DX40 and an FX99 would have cost in 1959. That would have been about $225, and today it would be about $1,850. How's that for comparison, K2EIR?
In 1978 or 9, I did a detailed listing of every piece of equipment I would ever want to get 100 watts on every band through 440, both FM and weak signal for VHF and UHF, and on HF, just, single sideband CW, maybe RIDI at the time. And the answer was, 20 grand of gear just to get out, not quite, maybe 17, 18, including antennas and stuff. It was pretty crazy. And now I call it doesn't have 220, it doesn't have 440, but I call it a 746 Pro. Or I call it a FT90, 100. Or I call it a IC7300. I mean, it's pretty much what that is, plus or minus the 220 and a few watts of power at the high end.
And, of course, performance has improved with all this gear over the many years. Get a lot more for your buck now. Of course, we wouldn't do it any less. I don't think we want to go back to AM modulators and, the 75-watt level input rather than output type of thing. Oh, well. K2EIR.
You're absolutely right. The performance is much better. Let me be very clear. I do not pine for my original ham station, or even any of the earlier ham stations that I had. Someone even offered me a TR-22, and I said, nah, I don't think so. I didn't even want it in my shack. There was no purpose for it. So, anyway, other than the fact that you can put a 30 kilohertz white signal through it, but and make it sound really awesome in FM, but, DJ's channel will just kill you. All right, anybody else? All right, everybody, don't forget to sign up for the ComTech group. Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech group at Yahoo Groups. And if you can't find it for any reason, just give me a call an email at w2tangotangotango@awrl.net. It's K2BIR. Anybody else? Then 7-3, everybody, thank you for a delightful net, and we got all the questions and issues of the world addressed. Hopefully, Hillary and Don will be able to figure it out between the two of them. I think I have a simpler problem running this net. Anyway, so you guys take care and God bless, and maybe we'll see you Saturday at the Friday at the Fairlawn Club, and by the way, if you have time, Rick WTLCN is running a charity walk on Saturday morning in Lincoln Park, and if you'd like to come, 7:45, be there, and shoot. You can shoot me a note, and I can send you the information. He'd love to have you there. Anyway, 73W2TTT. And K2BA are signing clear, returning a repeater to normal amateur radio use.
W2TTT from K2EIR. Gordon, I have a personal sort of question.
Sure, Howie.
I guess it would have been relevant to the net, too. How many people, or percentage or proportion, whatever, you think are in the ComTech group who are out of the area? That is, not Bergen or Westchester or Rockland or, anything metro New York. But I know we have one station from Ohio. How many are there that are way away?
I don't know. I can look. Anybody can look, actually. I think the membership list is open to anyone. But more importantly, they can't participate in the net anymore, and that's definitely been a real thorn in our side. And it's
was down, then it was brought back up, and it was brought back up with the extensive resources that could have been had. You know, late model resources would have been, were available for free, but unfortunately someone decided to go spend money, and then it was used as an excuse to say, oh no, well, we can't allow remote users in unless they're members. And then when people were logging into other repeaters from who were owned by members who were connecting, they banned those members from using their repeaters or remote bases to access the repeater. So it is what it is. I mean, you know, the trustee and the president make all the decisions. I've learned that. They get bobblehead answers from the rest of the officers, but ever since everybody's appointed, you know, it doesn't much matter. And they make the policy, so if you don't like the policy, you know, CN2FTU and K2FJ.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment at this point, Gordon, but I do miss Ken's participation. That was not behind my question. I was strictly thinking in terms of ComTech terms. You know, for example, I was going to post there about the Crystal Radio Club having the 7300 in case anyone wanted to make a trip up from Bergen to Rockland to get. You know, I just thought that would be nice, but I just didn't have enough time. Probably the biggest reason, but the other reason was that I was wondering how irrelevant it might be to the membership of ComTech, so I didn't know what it truly was like. And again, I haven't done the research, so I just thought you might know off the cuff kind of thing. Okay, let me say goodnight, because I'd like to try to do one or two other things here before I hit the sack. W2TTT from K2EIR.
She's very good. Well, you know, I'm very interested in expanding the number of users here, but not so much anymore because clearly the officers don't want to. So, or they want to do it in a very specific way. They had some issues with one or two people, one of whom was in the process of being very, very sick and with cancer, and they turned off the EchoLink because he wasn't a member. It was kind of sad to watch, and I don't know, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. So they're not going to change the policy. I'm not going to rejoin, which means they've turned off my EchoLink privileges, which means we may have a EchoLink on during the net that will allow people to check in remotely again, but I'll have to, just out of courtesy, take it down after the net. But we'll see. I haven't decided how to handle that yet, but I got other projects right now. I've got a full-blown EchoLink station I just have to configure, and frankly, I don't have time to do it right now. I'm actually messing with a Wi-Fi device as we're speaking, that for, as a probe for work, it's nothing to do with what we normally mess with here. And I have a power supply problem with it tonight that's just racking our brains here. So anyway, I believe it was about 20%, just for your reference, which was pretty neat, to answer your question directly. But you can go up on ComTech Group, and since you're a member, you can figure it out. And I hope you do. In any case, thanks for asking about the ComTech Group. It's a good way to store information and share information, because you can always go back and look at the past messages and search messages for topics of interest, which is also good.
I agree. I'd rather store it there than on my own computer. Sometimes I just can't find anything even on my own computer. And I like to go back to some of these groups where I know something was posted. You know, I find the groups very, very helpful. You know, Yahoo groups. So, other than that, I'm not too big on social media, but I guess I like that. Again, let me wish you a good night, and we'll see each other again, I hope. I have made some of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club dinners, luncheons, and I have missed you. But I don't know if I can keep up the attendance. I am very pressed for time myself. I think I have to sort of reorient my life if I'm going to get some of my problem areas taken care of. So I'll probably do less net stuff and less participation. If I can do anything in ham radio, I want to operate on HF, which I am doing very little of because of the antenna situation. So I'll have to work on that. 783 W2 TTT K2 EIR.
Thanks, Howie. Yeah, I know the feeling. But no, it's all good. I mean, yeah, I just feel that we should get on the air and try to be as helpful as possible. And, you know, unfortunately, some people view it differently. So I can't explain it. I won't even try to conjecture as to why they have the policies they have. I try to do things that bring people together and get people actually on the air and interested. Should have heard earlier today, Andre was driving his stepson hither and yon. They were going somewhere. And his stepson Nick, I guess he's 9 years old. He's in third grade. And, we were explaining the licensing process and things like that. And he was very interested and very, very articulate and very smart young man. And, he wanted to know if I was ever a Boy Scout and, you know, when did I start getting my license and when did I finally get my license and is it hard? Is it what, and I explained that it's no harder than it was back then, but the difference is they've made the information available, which helps. You know, it's not so much how hard it is as to whether or not you can get the information you need. So it's all good. I mean, it was great to chat with him, and, you know, that's what makes it fun. But we took the conversation to another repeater because I try not to impose myself here other than for the net and quick contact to move people off to wherever. Anyway, good luck and get on HF. The loop antenna is certainly an interesting toy. Although some of the links, by the way, let me drop it. Some of the links you gave me, they were fine, but the links on the pages weren't. They were sterile, and that made me sad a little bit. You know, it implies people just not so much don't care, but probably aren't alive anymore. I've been trying to get people to start stowing stuff in places that are a little more resilient to individuals passing on. Anyway. It's another issue for another day. Right now I want to just get the Comtech minutes out to the Comtech group, and I have a dual Dalkey relay, UHF connector type relay with 120-volt coil. It's absolutely pristine. I want to see if I can find a 12-volt coil for it. You know, it's similar. It's the usual Dalkey coil, but this one happens to be one you'd use for an amplifier where you want to switch the input and the output, so... I definitely want to see if I can find a 12-volter coil for this thing. 7-3 for now, Howie. K2EIR, W2TTT.
Okay, good luck. It brings back memories. My took me to station back in the late 60s. I had a Dalkey. I may have had more than one. And I remember, you know, they were about $20. You know, today, again, $200 or whatever for it. Just seems unaffordable. Okay, 73, K2EIR.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they were unaffordable. You know, 20, 30 bucks was like, a lot of money for a kid. 73W2TTT.
But even on a dollar a week allowance or a dollar a week savings plan, I used to be able to save up. I find it harder these days. These days I spend something and it means something else doesn't get spent. It can be rough. K2EIR, 73.
73. Go ahead, Tony.
B2TTT. Gordon, I've been very successful with running a 110-volt relay on 12 volts DC. You'll find that the DC resistance of the coil is similar on 110 volts and 12 volts, and it will work. You might experiment with it.
Really? Alrighty. I will do that. Not only will I do that, but I will also maybe check to see if there's a difference in latching time or latching characteristics. But that's a great idea, Tony. I will do that.
Don't know about overheating or anything, but I don't think you're going to be keying down for a longer period of time that'll make it, you're not going to be a transmitting half an hour type programs. But check it out. I think it'll work.
Do you think it'll be good, like in contest operation?
Kind of short fusos, like just like what we're doing now.
Yeah, okay. I can look into that. I'll definitely look at that. In fact, let me grab an ohmmeter and see what we got, and I can actually measure the current when I on a variable supply, so that's not a problem. Good point, Tony. I will take that into more than just advisement. I'll go do it.
Definitely, it's basically just a coil. There isn't any circuitry involved, and Lohan's resistance is acceptable to the DC supply, and doesn't overheat. It works.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the as you say, it's not too much. All right. Let me get cracking on that. That's a good idea. I got to also gather the stuff I need for tomorrow night, because I will be leaving first thing in the morning, take Nancy to work, and go directly to Middletown. So I want to pick her up. I don't even know if we're going to get home before we go to Fairlawn, so it's a busy kind of night tomorrow. 73, K2AMI. I'll check you into the net. W2TTT.
Let's do about a quarter of the net, but check me in if you wish. K2AMI. Also clearing now.
Thanks, Tony. W2TD.
Connected. W2APP.
No, I guess you renewed yours or haven't managed to piss off the folks. W2APP. W2TTT.
W2APP. Disconnected.
Okay, were you going in via echo link or disconnecting the echo link while transmitting over the repeater?
W2TTT, W2APP, yeah, just double checking. Yeah, just give it time with that clear.
Yeah. You too shall feel the wrath of God. Anyway, Paul, if they opened up the echo link, I would, to what it was, I would cheerfully, pay my dues. But you know what? When I see something that was done unjustly for, citing bureaucratic reasons that were themselves unnecessary, I just feel compelled to be vocal about things I consider just plain wrong. But it's their game. It's their toys. They get to play with their toys their way. But when they take members' money and then they make change the policy, then it's up to the members to vocalize their displeasure. And ultimately, I decided not to renew based on their behavior. Every action has a reaction. It's the laws of physics applied to humans. 73, W2ACC, W2TTT, gotta go.
Yeah, no problem. I understand where you're coming from. We'll take that offline. With that, I'll just say W2APP, clear.